What is up, everybody? This is Jake Rowe, with me Rusty Mansell, and this is the post-game show with Dawgs HQ. Georgia takes down Marshall 45-7. And Rusty, the best way I can kind of describe this game is Georgia ran a little hot, they ran a little cold, ups and downs, some game one stuff. And I really think that if we start with Gunnar Stockton, I think we can say that he looked a little jittery at times, but also made some real good decisions with his legs and made some good throws on the move and obviously did enough scoring four touchdowns to kind of help Georgia build a lead and get Ryan Pugliese some significant action.
Yeah, I thought Gunnar, the positives, those two fourth downs with him in the run game, I think he hurts you with his legs when the pocket breaks down. I think he threw a couple of really good balls. You know, there was that middle eight, you know, that Kirby Smart always talks about, that last, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of the first half, first 3 or 4 minutes of the second half is very important. And, you know, you look at those things, they kind of went stale there. And that was something that you want to see. I want to see a few more down the field explosive balls there. But, you know, a couple of times he had pressure in his face. But all in all, for a first start, Gunnar was 14 for 24, 190, two touchdowns. And, you know, I think it's first game, and you know, you can build with that, and you know, I think that he'll take a lot, because listen, that's a lot today with you know, I know he started against Notre Dame and that was a totally different situation, but when you get off the bus and you're the guy and first time you ever walk in that stadium and you've been the guy now for 6 months, Jake, you know, it's a little different to think about. And he got that out of the way. Thought he had a good job. I expect him to have a really good game against Austin Peay this week. And nothing that you saw today worries you about Gunnar, other than some tip balls. And I've talked about that. You know, that is something that, you know, he's taller than Stetson Bennett. He's a lot taller than Bryce Young. You know, just at times he has some tip balls. Today he had two. And it just worries me, you know, getting a little bit picky there. But I love that he is hard to bring down, man. Runs through arm tackles and in the run game and, you know, those type of things. I love that he got to throw a ball to Zach Branch, basically 2 yards, and a guy took one to the house. And every quarterback loves to have somebody like that. You don't have to force it down the field. You get the ball out in space to your playmaker and let that guy make a play. So a lot of good things there from Gunnar. A lot of things they can clean up, a lot of things they can get better at. But overall, good start today for Gunnar Stockton and Georgia, scoring 3 out of the first 4 drives with a touchdown. It got a fast start. Good stuff there.
Yeah, made the most of a short field given to them by special teams and made quick work of it, you know, 3 plays, 20 yards and a touchdown. You know, I thought there was times when I didn't necessarily think he looked nervous. He just looked amped. You know, he looked really amped. And, you know, I thought Georgia could have done a much better job of protecting him early. Marshall was being really aggressive on kind of the earlier downs, and then, you know, on kind of passing downs, they were dropping a lot of guys in the coverage and kind of forcing him to check it down. And he took what the defense gave him, didn't make any big mistakes. But probably all in all, probably a handful of times, you know, you could go back and watch that game and say, hey, he had this guy open, he had that guy open, and opted for something shorter. But there's a lot worse, I feel like, criticisms you could have of a quarterback in an emotionally charged type environment like that. But you know, the decisions he made on the read option on fourth down, whenever he kind of gave a move, that was a good football play. I mean, that was a really good football play and a good call. I mean, that's something that a lot of people are going to have to work on. And then you saw it again on the touchdown run.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first speed option I think I've seen Georgia run. I think they ran one with DJ Shockley like back in 2005. And Quincy Carter used to run it a lot. But that's the first time I'd seen him use it. And that's a really effective fourth down play. In that situation, and like you know, there some people are gonna have to spend some time kind of working on that.
That's almost as good as a trick play. I mean, you put it on tape, and not only you put that on tape, you put that on short yardage on fourth down inside the 10 or whatever they were, the 15. You have to work on speed option, and you know, I think Georgia ran that with LSU. I think they ran that with Shockley at LSU SEC championship game. He scored on that one. You're right, I believe, but. You know, you run that speed option into the boundary there. That is something that will piss off a staff, because they're going to have to spend time not only preparing for that, they're going to have to prepare somebody to give them that look too. So, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but the coach in you knows that's just going to piss you off to have to spend time working on that anytime you're going to face Georgia.
You know, a couple of drops in kind of key situations there. You know, Dylan Bell had a second down drop. Lawson Lucky, it wasn't the best thrown ball, but he dropped one right there that would have been a first down that caused Georgia to have to move the sticks. So those things kind of hang around. Getting to the play of the offensive line, I mean, man, I tell you what, I don't know if, you know, Stacy Sturles needs to start living right or what, but, you know, lost the right side of his offensive line after two drives. Juan Gaston, Kirby Smart says, we'll have to have an MRI. And when he says MRI, you know, they're thinking potentially a high ankle sprain. That would not be good, not for him. Bo Hughley came in for Ernest Green there at right tackle. Didn't really give a whole – said he had some stiffness, Ernest Green did, but, you know, I thought Bo Hughley held up really well. And really, as Georgia went along, they certainly played better. But one of my predictions kind of going into this game, Rusty, was that the newness of facing Marshall and kind of a, you know, and what ultimately amounted to kind of a 3-3-5 type stack defense and a lot of different stunts and blitzes, that Georgia was going to give up some negative plays. They did. Didn't really mash them, run the ball at them. Also didn't really look to me like they committed to doing a whole lot of that either. The game plan seemed to be to make Marshall run a lot. And as you saw, as that game went down and Georgia possessed the football, Marshall wore down. And that's what really allowed Georgia to kind of build a huge lead there. But, you know, I thought the offensive line did okay. It certainly – come out and dominate it type performance. But Gunner made them look better than they were at times by his ability to get away from the rush, which was probably one of the most impressive things I saw from him outside of that fourth and one two touchdown pass where he looked off the safety and kind of opened up the middle of the field for London Humphreys there after his final touchdown. But I know a lot of people are going to talk about the O-line after that game, and it wasn't perfect, but I thought it was okay. And they clearly got to get better. That's the key to the whole season is Georgia's O-line getting better as the season goes on.
Yeah, they had 488 total yards. They had 240 yards rushing. They averaged over 5 yards a carry. And, you know, there were some things they got to clean up. But, I mean, anytime you can rush for 240 yards and you average over 5 yards a carry, you know, that 5.4 yards a carry, that's kind of the goal there. You know, and you're going to work on that. Listen, Michael Morris, we found out today he's playing with a broke hand already. You know, that's something you and I were waiting to see. And he's in a cast. Your starting right tackle goes down. Maybe your best offensive lineman, you lost him in the second series of the game. And who knows when he's coming back. So, you know, they had some guys they had to plug in place in there. But certainly got some room to improve. And that's something that you want to clean up and get better. Yeah, they were playing with some. They were playing with a, you know, totally new deal there for a while. I guess the only guy basically back last year at that point would have been Monroe Freeland as a full time starter, and so listen, no excuses, get better, but let's don't sugarcoat. They had 240 yards rushing today, and you know that's a good start for Georgia. And clean up some of the things, clean up some of the one on ones. They, you know, gave up some penetration stuff there, and you know, got Gunner's face, but. Other than that, let's go to work this week and see who's healthy, man, and see what they're going to do there. Because, you know, I felt good in the statement that Juan Gaston was the backup tackle at either position. And now, you know, he's not there. And, you know, we don't know the severity. Is he going to be back in a week? Is he going to be back in a month? If he has high ankle and has to have tightrope, you know, you're looking at 3 or 4 or 5 weeks there. You're looking at 4 or 5 weeks if that wind up being the case. Don't know that is a case, but. If you get tightrope on a 360-pound guy, it ain't going to be 26 days like Brock Bowers did. I can assure you that. So we'll just see how Georgia does, see what the injury does this week, and see how they change up things and how they may move some bodies around, because they're certainly going to have to make some changes. And listen, the good thing, they got Austin Peay coming up. It's a team they're going to be very much overmatched. This team is not as good as Marshall. So you got to knock some things out and get right before going to Knoxville for this huge game 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, and you mentioned the rushing stats. One thing I want to point out, Georgia ran it eight times for 15 yards in the fourth quarter. Kind of its number two O-line in there. Obviously not ideal, and you want to see them run the ball better than that. So that means the first three quarters with kind of your more front-line guys in there, 6.2 a carry for Georgia. They were 36 for 224, which is a real solid output. Now, you know, a lot of that was perimeter run. I thought Dwight Phillips looked awesome. You know, Kirby, you know, really complimented him earlier this week about his vision, and I didn't see him miss a single cut. It seemed like he found daylight every time he was in the game, and that was a positive. Nate Frazier and Chauncey Bowens had some physical runs, even if they weren't able to bust loose with one. And then obviously Gunner really made Marshall pay by trying to crash, you know, kind of crash down, pinch, slant, you know, be really active up front. He pulled a couple and made them pay for it. Rusty, defensively, Georgia should have dominated that game up front, and they did. And I thought outside of maybe two or three missed tackles, they really tackled well too. And, you know, that was a good group of backs, and you could tell that's what Marshall kind of wanted to lean on, because they really tried to run the football. Georgia just wasn't letting it happen.
Yeah, I was extremely excited about Georgia's defense. And I'm not, you know, people are going to say it's just the ones that can find it, you know, a problem with anything, they're going to say it's just Marshall. I don't care. It's still flying around. It's high energy. The front seven was really good. I thought Gabe Harris, the knockback blocks at Gabe Harris, the stats that you don't see with Gabe Harris, number zero, man, he long arms a tackle. Like, he jacked that kid up three or four times a day. I know that guy's on a bus, on a plane back tonight going, man, I don't ever want to see zero again. I'll be honest with you. And, you know, they that's the kind of thing you got to do, set the edge so other guys can play. I thought Raylan Wilson, I was interested. It was interesting, Jake. You'll dig more into it, but there was a time today where they had Raylan Wilson, they had C.J. Allen and Justin Williams in the inbox backers, and they had Raylan Wilson on the edge. And he was coming off like Jalen Walker. And they did it with Chris Cole, too, on third down. But I don't know if I was really anticipating Raylan Wilson to be in that role. Now, they've done it before with a, you know, a 6'2 backer with Jalen Walker. So I thought Raylan Wilson played really good in space. I thought he closed down. So I have, you know, just keep playing that way with defense. You're going to be fine. I thought they tackled well. I thought they ran to the ball well. You know, Marshall really never got anything going at all. They gave up a couple of plays there on their twos. But, you know, I think that the, you know, the defense played really good as a whole, you know, and we've talked about it. Is this team, that team loaded with first round draft picks like the last three? It's not. It's not. It still doesn't mean they can't be good. They got some great potential there. You got to play together, have to play together as a group. And didn't see anything today that would really worry me, man. And you know, I thought the energy level and tackling, when they go back and watch it, Kirby Smart and Lynn Schumer would be real happy with that.
Second level of defense was really impressive overall. I mean, I noticed Chris Cole, as the game went on, got more reps, kind of rushing off the edge, and was a little bit of a terror there. Yep. C.J. Allen was really active. You mentioned Raylan Wilson, and you know, obviously Gabe Harris kind of playing that D-end position. Looking at the outside linebackers, you know, Quintavious Johnson got the start. Chris Jones played a lot. Elo Madozi played a lot, and I think we saw some glimpses of why Georgia went after him. I thought he was disruptive. The most disruptive at the outside linebacker position. He ended up with a half tackle for a loss and really should have had a sack at one point and kind of slipped off of it. But I thought those guys did a good job. The secondary, Rusty, Dalen Everett, not in there. He went in pregame warm-up, and I got the vibe that they wanted to get through it without him. And I wouldn't shock me if they tried to get through Austin Peay without him. So Daniel Harris and Ellis Robinson get the start. They weren't really tested. But looking at the secondary, I tell you who really did impress me, and that was Jonell Aguero. It was clear that Aguero was healthy and ready to play. Yeah. And then early on, it was right away, set the edge on a couple of runs, was real physical. The secondary did not get tested until late, until kind of the young guys got in there with a couple of back shoulder throws. But, man, that the secondary really flew around, took some good angles. I saw maybe one missed tackle with that group. Otherwise, it was a really strong performance from the secondary.
Yep, tackled well, and you know, it all starts up front. You control the line of scrimmage and kept the guys in the pocket, and you know, it's that's the biggest thing defensively, Jake, was energy. I think flying around and getting off the field on third down, I mean, that was fantastic. That's just something that you know, uncharacteristically last year, they couldn't get off the field on third down, which was shocking. It's something you didn't see a lot, and today, against an opponent that was not at Georgia, I'm sure those kids were loving that and to able to hit somebody else, and they got off the field. And I'm sure that, you know, as a coach, Kirby Smart and Lynn Schumann and all those guys are going to look at it and go, we got to fix this, we got to fix that, we got to fix this. Well, you do. But the thing they're going to be happiest about is the effort and getting off the field on third down.
Yeah, precisely. And they only gave up 3 out of 15 third downs, which is really strong defensively. I mean, that's 20%. That's about as good as you can do. Georgia was 3 of 3 on fourth down and 9 of 19 on third and fourth down combined. They were 6 of 16 on third down. But listen, this is just the first step. And, you know, as far as the season goes, and Georgia's going to have a lot to clean up. I don't know that we'll know from week one to week two how much better this team has gotten, because they are going to take a step down in competition. But, man, college football was wild today, and it seems like it just keeps getting wilder. I mean, Alabama loses to Florida State. Thomas Castellanos, Waycross native, you know, doubled and tripled down his comments during the preseason and then delivered on those. That's I can't – he's got to be a big winner from week one of college football, that's for sure.
You know, what's weird about him – not weird, but – I mean, I've said it, and I think you know it. Georgia recruited him to play running back hard. They begged him to play running back. And kudos to Thomas Castellanos. He stayed with it, and he went to Boston College as a quarterback, and he wanted to play quarterback, and now he's at Florida State playing quarterback. But, you know, Georgia – Dale McGee recruited him really hard to play tailback. And, I mean, that guy's something else now with the ball in his hands now. He is hard to deal with. When Florida State needed 5 today – then that guy got it. So kudos to them, man. Big win for them. And when you call out Alabama, you better know you better get some. And he backed it up.
Yeah, I think that makes Alabama, since Kalen DeBoer's taken over, 2-5 away from Tuscaloosa, which is it's a tough thing to get into there. But hey, listen, there's this long way to go, as we found out last season. You know, 2 regular season losses does not eliminate you from anything. You know, getting a bye does not assure you of anything.
Sure.
This is just week one of a very, very long college football season. Georgia's off to an ideal start, 1-0. Rusty, before we get out of here, I want to shout out our friends over at Sun High. Save 20% with code DOGSHQ20. Listen, these are elite. They're durable. Lifetime warranty on the frames. Injected polarization so it doesn't delaminate over time. My personal experience with them is I can't hardly fog them up. They are wonderful, wonderful pieces of eyewear. Go check out our friends over at sunheist.com. And like I said, code DOGSHQ20 will save you 20%. If you get a pair and you like them and you want to buy them for somebody else, use the DOGSHQ20 again. You can do it over again. This thing can be used over and over again. But we appreciate those guys, and we appreciate you guys for watching, for listening. This has been Dogs HQ and the Georgia Show. Post-game show, Georgia beats Marshall 45-7 to start off the 2025 season. We'll catch you again tomorrow night on the Georgia Show. Y'all take it easy.